Welcome to the Cover 2 podcast featuring J-Mac and our boy Tim Kelly.
Welcome to yet another Cover 2 podcast. We had some dispute about if it was week 9 or week 10. Our boy Tim Kelly says he thinks it's 10, but I think it's more like 9.
I'm going with 10.
All right. I still say 9. I don't remember doing one after the first week, but I suppose here or there. But it's J-Mac, our boy Tim Kelly, and we're joined by a special guest in the studio, live in person, Scott Hartman. He's got us all with newfangled equipment and stuff here.
Thank you. Yes, we're actually using microphones tonight, folks, so
overrated.
Hopefully it'll be a little less tinny this week.
We kind of like the old, we're stuck in a tin can sound.
Right, yeah. We used to have, like, you know, the realist would be in the back, like, making the fake sounds, like, back in old-time radio days. Like, he'd have, like, an egg beater, you know, to, I don't know what it was, but those were the good old days. Now you get to hear our voice, and it's, you know, way too clear, and it's going to be, I think people are going to tune out, because, quite frankly, J-Mac's voice is, you know, nails on a chalkboard.
Well, right, I mean, it's... The wife doesn't like interacting with me. Apparently, I'm pretty to look at, but when I start talking, she runs away.
Well, that's why she's shoved toothpicks in her eardrums. Just last week, actually.
There was a lot of blood involved.
God, we don't want to talk about it. Yeah.
But yeah, we do have Scott with us here. We've had his wife on as a guest.
I know. You had my wife on before you had me on. I can't believe it.
I think even when we called for her that night, we got you and said,
yeah, I answered the phone and you said, yeah. We want to talk to your wife. Well, okay. What guy doesn't say that?
You know? in defense of our choice, you hadn't actually created the Cherushinsky. So
no, well, neither had Mamie, come to think of it. As we all found out the hard way.
Which has been pointed out to us.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that call, that guest call, really bred a lot of jealousy amongst the podcast listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Was she the first call-in guest you had?
Yeah, no, Matt, the no, mayor, no. Matt Tavrog, was the
right.
First.
Yeah, he had to answer the accusations being flung his way, so.
After, yeah, the front page edition of the AJC with him prominently featured.
You know, season hasn't been right since then.
That's true, I know.
I just want to put that out there. I love the guy.
That was the pinnacle of the season, the pregame Tennessee, and then,
everything has gone downhill. I mean, I think you can pinpoint to the fact that picture was snapped.
Yeah.
The moment that picture was snapped, then all of a sudden, Georgia just imploded.
The curse of the paper.
I'd like to point out, my hand was in that picture. Actually,
I was going to say, because I was going to say we had to expel anybody that was in the picture. So, sorry, Scott. Now you and Matt are
Can I just cut off my hand and like Ash and Evil Dead 2?
That's fine. Yeah.
It got in my hand and it went bad.
And then we'll put it on a big meat hook and hang it from the tents.
That could work.
Yeah.
It's, if nothing else, it's sure to attract attention, and that's always a good thing.
And flies.
That's true.
Well, we're going to try to talk football here. I guess the main thing, and this was, I believe, on the first podcast we made note of this, so it's kind of full circle here, but Britney Spears did file for a divorce in the past 2 days. So, Tim, how have you been handling that?
It's been a rough road for me the past 24 hours. And we call it Black Tuesday forevermore. It was quite a shocker. It was, you know, a little bit tempered by the fact of the election returns. That helped me out a lot. But still, this morning, I still woke up and the cold reality set in. That
tears.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know, once the divorce happens, that really means no more K-Fed, I'm sad to say.
Well, you just have to wonder. Maybe she, because he had just been making a round of promoting the album. So I was, you got to wonder, maybe she finally actually saw him perform and then realized, God, he really is horrible.
Or maybe it's an elaborate publicity stunt.
It could be.
Since the album just came out, then they get divorced, and then they're like, oh, back together, and then it's like a duet up on stage. And
it's like a reverse Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, not so much. By the way, Tim, the correct term is the album just dropped.
Oh, dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I thought it was pretty ballsy of her to do it on Election Day, too.
Well,
I mean, it was...
I mean, she was daring to steal the thunder
and
from the Democratic
surge. Did for
surge.
A good, you know, 3.5 hours there in the afternoon from the Democratic surge. But also, I mean, just ballsy. And, of course, you guys do know that K-Fed just had a concert a couple of days ago that was at a 1,500-seat venue and only 300 people showed up.
And half of them were free, right?
And half of those were free. They were asking people off the street. So maybe, you know, maybe she realized that he really is just a...
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I don't think Britney Spears knew it was Election Day. I think she's thinking, oh, it's November, it's a Tuesday, I'm going to be all over the news. And then, you know, she drops the bombshell, and then they're like, Britney, it's Election Day.
I swear I saw a picture on PerezHilton.com of her wearing an I voted sticker. But
really?
I don't.
It probably said I pooted or something.
That's true. Yeah, that's probably right.
But yeah, this definitely, it shaped the day. I think from what I hear, Sonny Perdue is going to try to push some sort of legislation banning her from ever returning to Georgia. Though I think there's also going to be a K-Fed day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
He's going to be at the state house, the big plaque.
He's going to do that rap of that song he has, and I don't know what it is.
I love that song.
Yeah.
What is it called?
I don't know.
K-Fed Boogie, or... The electric slide, K-Fed style.
The K-Fed bounce.
Every K-Fed has its thorn.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or every rose has its K-Fed.
That's Ooh. More like it, yeah.
I think they're two different songs. It's sort of like a meatloaf kind of thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's good.
Not the food.
Speaking of albums that just dropped.
Did he really?
Yeah, like Bat Outta Hell 3 or something. Wow, yeah. Like, yeah.
It's really milking that Bat Outta Hell
thing.
It
really is.
But isn't half of them just... The original, like earlier songs, he just kind of has updated and modernized. And I know there's a Celine Dion cover in there, in which anytime anyone covers Celine Dion, that thing's
going
to sell.
So he's going the Rod Stewart / Barry Manilow route, where now he just does nothing but cover songs. Like Rod Stewart sings the 60s, and then Barry Manilow does, you know, 1970s disco. That's every album they put out now. I'm not saying I'm a big Rod Stewart or Barry Manilow fan, but I'm just saying it's just.
So you're not a fan of Low.
Yeah, we're really using these names in pun form, I guess, here, aren't we?
I've heard of the term fanalo.
Really?
Though I think, in all fairness, I saw that in a Will and Grace, and I think it was more of a joke. But nonetheless, there you go. I suppose we could actually talk football.
Yeah, let's talk football.
So a couple things we'll take a look here. First off the bat, since this is near and dear to Tim's heart, all of a sudden Maryland is tied for first.
How about that?
In their division. Do you know the breakdown of if Maryland wins out and Wake wins out? How's all this shaping up?
See, that's what I'm not all that familiar with. Maryland hasn't played Wake yet?
Well, hold on. Well,
I told you not to ask me this. You sprung it on me. Well, I know. I'm pretty sure I heard after the Clemson game that if they won out, that they would that they control their own destiny.
I believe that's correct.
Yes. I'm just going to go ahead and say that's correct. I watched a good bit of the game. Well, I guess the first half of the Clemson game. It's pretty incredibly boring. But once the Georgia game started, I turned it on mute. So I'm not all that up in my Maryland info.
Well, we'll try. Okay, let's see. They close the season hosting Wake Forest.
Well, there you go. I guess that's gonna.
They do go to Boston College. And they have Miami. So as bad as Miami's playing, it's still Miami.
Yeah, that game is this weekend.
Yeah. It's pretty much up in the air for them. But I mean, I will say that I think they've definitely exceeded expectations. And
really,
any thought? People were talking about firing Friedgen, but I don't think they're saying that anymore.
They must protect this house.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put this out there. Maryland goes Miami at Boston College, then Wake. Wake goes at Florida State, Virginia Tech, Maryland. And Virginia Tech's starting to play better. So I don't think it's pretty much set in stone that somehow Clemson doesn't sneak up in there. Though Clemson did lose to Maryland, which I guess gives them the tiebreaker there. Mm-hmm. But did Wake? And Wake lost to Clemson, correct?
No. Yes. Yes. Yes, they did.
On that, they Wake was blasting them, and then that's when Gaines Adams had returned that field goal,
right.
and then they won in the end.
That was when Clemson had that brief like 2-game stretch where I was convinced they were the best team in college football.
I was there with you, because I was over here the night. We were all over here the night they played Tech, and just like laid it on them. I thought they were the second coming.
And now they are back to trying to lynch Tommy Bowden again.
I think that just means it's fall.
It is
Clemson.
Yes.
You know it's fall.
I talked to respected sports anchor John Hart from Augusta, Georgia, after the Maryland game last week, and I said, "When do the Clemson fans start calling for Tommy Bowden's head?" To which John responded, "Yesterday."
I, I mean, he's had a pretty good record there. I'd say I don't understand, but I think there's also, with all due respect to Clemson, there's some sort of delusion that they had this really successful historical program.
I was about to say the exact same thing. Like, if you look at their, like, media guide, like, it's a lot like South Carolina. There is no real history of huge success there. I mean, but the fans act like it's South, or at Clemson, they're like, this is unacceptable. It's like, well, really?
Right.
Well, it was pretty much about 7-8 years in the 80s.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
That's about it. I don't know. But they have more, they at least have won a national title, so I'd give them more credit than
right,
say
yeah.
South
Carolina. Probably well, yeah. been to some bowl games, unlike South
True.
Carolina.
True.
Gamecocks have won 2 all time, is that correct?
And they were just in the past couple of years, so.
Yeah. I remember how excited they were. I think Brad Scott won the first bowl game for them, and they were pretty fired up about that back in the mid 90s. Mm. So that's the ACC shaping up, and then Tech is in control. If they just keep winning out, they're going to roll in there. And I think actually
they clinch
they
if they
clinch.
Win.
Yeah.
Well, if they win this week, they clinch.
They've got at least a tie, but they got a pretty easy road, I think, ahead of them. So
who do they play this week?
They have
North Carolina.
They go North Carolina and Duke. So they win one, and they've got the tiebreaker because they'll have it over.
You'd love to think you can win one of those.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb and say they're probably going to pull it out. Unless somehow that North Carolina has successfully been able to convince Butch Davis to coach this game.
Right, because I was going to say, on the way over to your humble abode, J-Mac, Sports Talk Radio was reporting that Butch Davis has accepted the job.
Ooh.
You know, this is a good segue to, as you can all see in my nice little note thing, to coaching changes.
See, that's what it's all about.
I planned that.
Week 10 and we're really flowing.
Yeah, we are. We got a system now. Not so much last week.
No, that was just a complete mess. I blame Matt.
I do too.
Duval.
Yes, it was. There are too many single shared names.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he can never set foot in this house again.
No. Well, if he does, we can break his knees, I think.
Good.
And, I mean, man of God. But
yeah, right.
So coaching changes. North Carolina, they have been supposedly going after Rich Rodriguez. Now, do you see Rich Rodriguez going anywhere?
I wouldn't leave West Virginia. Well, I wouldn't have left West Virginia for North Carolina, certainly. Unless maybe I was going to coach basketball.
Right.
But
and
think,
for both of them, yeah.
Yeah, but here I don't think that was the case. I don't know. Somebody told me, and it might have been John Hart, but that he's heard from a lot of people that Rich Rodriguez likes West Virginia because he can be good and there's no pressure.
Well, yeah. it's his alma mater.
Yeah, and it's his alma mater.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it'd have to be like Notre Dame coming open, I think, for him to consider, which is where I say, here's my crazy conspiracy theory. Bear with me on it. Alabama has definitely underperformed. They had a pretty good year last year, but you could see they were playing over their head and got a couple breaks. Definitely struggling this year. Probably not going to fire Shula this year. But suppose they fired him this year or maybe next year, and Rodriguez is still around. Would Rodriguez come to Alabama?
Because
he could definitely get plenty of those players in the South who could work well in that system.
But that wouldn't flow with the no pressure theory.
That's true.
Yeah, that's about one of the more highest pressure jobs you can find.
Alabama, despite the fact that they're not that they really haven't. Had wonderful seasons in a while. I mean, just truly great seasons, back to back to back or whatever. Like, it's still, everybody says, it's like the it Notre Dame or like the highest pressure places you can coach, which is always funny to me, even when they haven't won an SEC title, God, I think since 2001.
Alabama?
Yeah.
It was the year that DuBose, where they lost to Louisiana Tech and they still ended up in the championship game and
did they win? They won that year.
Yeah, they won that year.
Smack Florida.
They barely beat Florida at Florida, then killed them in the SEC championship game.
Oh, right. That's right.
Was that 2000 or 01?
I believe it was 01 because he got fired the next year.
Because 01 was
they won
the year
two games or whatever.
Where Tennessee was. Florida was just. Wait a minute. Are you sure it was 01? There was one year where. In 01, I believe Tennessee upset Florida in Florida in the last game of the season because that was the 9/11 game that got postponed. You know what?
I don't know. Somebody get Rammer Jammer Yellow Hammer and let's find out.
But does Rodriguez have any connection to Alabama, or are you just saying that because it's a high-profile job?
It just was my random conspiracy theory, the high-profile job.
So. Oh, right, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I could see that happening. He's got a – if he wants to do something like that, you know, I would strike now or soon because I don't know how consistent you can be at West Virginia. I just don't know if you can build a program like – Frank Beamer has at Virginia Tech at West Virginia. I guess you can because the Big East is so down.
Well, you'll have, Louisville is going to be your only consistent competitor. I mean, Rutgers, I've been high in the Scarlet Knights, but let's be reasonable here. They're not going to compete year in and year out, and the coach they have is going to go somewhere eventually.
Yeah. And West Virginia, the state doesn't turn out any recruits. And then you start, when you go to the neighboring states, you're talking about some massive schools that you're having to recruit against. Virginia Tech and Virginia, Ohio State, Penn State, you know. So.
Well, and if New Jersey turns out a good recruit, like Marino, like Knowshon Marino, he goes to the SEC. He doesn't stay at Rutgers.
So I think, right now West Virginia is, with Pat White and Steve Slayton, they're going to win some games. And I think if Rodriguez wants to go, I would go this year or next year.
Okay, just real quick, 2001 is the 9/11 game was Tennessee, and Florida lost Tennessee 34-32. I remember that. It was an excellent football game, one of the better ones I've seen in the past couple of years, after destroying Florida State. And beating Vanderbilt that year 71-13.
Wow.
That didn't happen for Georgia.
I'd like to beat Vandy. Like to beat Vandy. Maybe next year.
Maybe just 7-3.
Yeah.
2-0.
I think we beat them 7-6 in like 1997, I want to say, or maybe 96. I might have been Donnan's first year, or it was like 11-6.
Yeah, that was one, because one of my friends was visiting, and I had to apologize for what an awful game it was.
I fell asleep in the stands for that game. I do remember.
Was that the Baylor loss season in 96?
No, we didn't lose to Baylor. We lost to Southern Miss.
Southern Miss was the first game of the opener. Beat Texas Tech the next game on a last second field goal.
I just remember that in that Texas Tech game that year, the student section went crazy, and I remember thinking, this is freaking Texas Tech.
It was pouring down rain.
We should not be this excited for struggling to beat Texas Tech. Sort of, and then I got to say I'm sort of hypocritical about that, because after we defeated Colorado this year, I was jumping up and down like a madman.
Right, I know.
So, I'm not entirely sure. I think what we're going to do here is we're going to take a TV timeout. We're going to watch Lost. We're not going to lie to you. So we're gonna take a break here. We're going to put some commercial interruptions, I believe. Not an hour and a minute long, though. Don't worry about that. And we'll come back. We'll do some picks. Maybe we'll even do a few fun games and quizzes. Who knows?
Ooh.
So we'll see you guys in a bit. We're back. We've watched Lost.
Lost.
Yeah, we decided that we wanted to come back and at least close this out strong. We've been listening to my wife, who is fighting off a cold, determined to give it to me every which way possible. She's been rambling about how she doesn't like the treatments and/or medicines I've been trying to give her to make her feel better.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Lost there, Tim? You like it?
Yeah, I did. I was expecting a little bit more. I thought they pumped it up a little bit, as far as the fall season finale, and not really much anything happened.
There was definitely a cliffhanger without much satisfaction.
Yeah.
It was a good cliffhanger, but I'm not getting anything for 3 months. I want some satisfaction.
Yeah, it's not much different than anything in the, if this was just in the middle of the season, I don't think you really would think any much.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Like, I was waiting for him to ask Kate if she loves Sawyer, and if she said yes, he would have, just cut the spine in half of, what's his name, Ben?
Although, we did get to see Kate and Sawyer do it.
It's true. So,
that's very true.
Kind of came out of nowhere, too. So.
And really in the open.
Yes. Really dirty,
in the open.
So. Yeah.
We're back. We have, we did have, randomly, not really football related, but I thought it was interesting enough. Tim posed during our break there. If a movie was filmed about you, who would play the principal, what actors and or actresses would play the principal roles in your life, including your own? So, Scott, I'd pose that to you. Who would play you in a movie?
Well, I think the easiest one, let me just back up by somebody significant to me, the easiest one is my wife, who would obviously be played by Danica McKellar, who played Winnie Cooper.
Yes.
I think that did come up in our initial conversation going down to Florida.
The image could not be any more spitting. And as for me, I really don't know.
James Spader?
No. James Spader, no.
How about Sam Neill?
He's a little too old, I think, for the part.
He could play young.
I'd like to give, if he wasn't 5'8", I might say Scott Wolf or something like that. But, you know, these days, I think I'd like to say, like, Sean William Scott, the guy that played Stifler. He's definitely better, more attractive than I am, but I feel like he shares my sense of humor pretty well. So,
would your father be played by Bill Hartman?
No, my father would be played by the guy that played Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore.
Fantastic.
So, Tim, who did, now, obviously, I think we all know who's playing you in the movie.
Adam Carolla?
Yes.
No, I refuse. I would not support that movie.
Then who would you pick to play you in the movie?
You know, I don't know, somebody, I'm going to go with Tom Hanks.
Possibly, I could see that.
20 years ago, yes.
I'm shooting for the Academy Award here. I think my life deserves nothing less.
Now, is that volleyball Wilson going to be involved in this movie whatsoever?
Yeah, he'll play Carrie.
I was going to say, he's playing the character of Carrie.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
It does.
What about you, Johnny?
I was leaning toward the kid who played Vinny on Doogie Howser to play me.
Max Casella?
Yeah, but well, I might step back from that.
He's on The Sopranos, too, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I might step back. Who would play me in a movie?
Dominic Monaghan. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if he dyed his hair a little bit, I could see that. Primarily because we're both short with beards, but really aside from that. And then for the wife? Gosh, I don't know.
Maybe... I'm going to go with Jack A.
Jack A. Harry?
Yeah.
I rode in an elevator with her in San Diego a couple years ago.
I was hoping that would yield a Scott Hartman Jack A. impression.
Married.
That's it.
God, Carrie and I love Jack A because we both could do the.
Well, it's pretty much that was she was a one trick pony. That's pretty much all she did. That's why I said I think Julia always does that.
Well, it's also interesting to point out that's why Jack A won those 4 Emmy awards. I think.
Did you win 4 Emmy awards?
I don't know. I doubt
it. Julie, I would put out Julie Bowen, perhaps.
Who is that?
Oh yeah, from Lost.
Ed, well, she's the one Jack's wife. From Lost. I'd put her out.
Oh yeah, I could go with that.
So
I mean, hopefully she wouldn't be a cold-hearted, backstabbing yacht like Jack's wife on Lost. But
well, yeah, that's why I picked.
Yeah.
No, I love my wife dearly. Now, who would play? Let's say John Hart in this little thing, because I arguably.
Tough.
Now, and he recently passed away, but I thought Don Knotts was perfect.
Even though he's passed away, I still think he's perfect.
The corpse of Don Knotts could probably do a good job.
You go with a hot hand. I like that.
They walk into the room with the same facial expression.
It's the open eye, open mouth, looking from side to side.
Now, if you had to have a guest cameo in your film, who would that be?
Hmm.
God, that's so tough. I don't know what to do.
I think Tim's leading Tommy Lee Jones, but I'm not really sure.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a big time. I'm going to go Morgan Freeman.
Because he's in everything.
Yeah. But he'd have to play something just, you know, very mundane. I'd be a cab driver or something.
Could it be Samuel L. Jackson's character from Snakes on a Plane?
Yeah, just straight from the same persona and everything, yeah.
Drink my beer! I'd like to say that in my movie, it would be Taylor Negron, who played the... No, don't go too... Don't start laughing. He played the postal guy, the postal worker in Better Off Dead.
Wow.
Yeah. And Mamie and I went to a restaurant. We went to the Dresden Room in Hollywood, and we ate at a table next to Lily Tomlin and Taylor Negron.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I was leaning B. Arthur, but I'm going to go Fran Drescher.
Well, okay.
Well, I can see how they'd be close.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. So, that's really all I have for that. Though we could possibly go on for a long time about that. But
this Bavaria is an excellent beer, John.
It's not. It's Heineken. It's not. It's just.
Yeah,
Heineken.
It's not, I think it's better than Heineken. Actually, it's probably cheaper too.
Well, I've lived so much on inexpensive beer. As you know, one of the podcasts we decided to have the readers submit their choices for what I should drink. At the tailgates, and I think that was the tailgate where Old Milwaukee prevailed. But it was also interesting to note that was where I purchased Bavaria because the kind gentleman at the liquor store on Atlanta Highway, the wine and beer warehouse.
ABC?
No, the one by Publix. He recommended Bavaria, said it was like $4 for a six pack, but it was very close to Heineken. So
How about that?
It's not bad. It's a good little beer. But since then, I've been sort of trying to wean myself off of drinking Southpaw and
no sense in that.
You're missing out.
That's true. But I've gone for the Sam Adams Winter Classics pack, which, you know, we're all into. Well, I had one earlier, but not bad. Old Fezziwig's Ales in there.
Right.
I had one of those. It was quite an interesting...
A hint of cinnamon and orange, if you will.
I'll take your word for it.
Much like Southpaw has a hint of lead and cockroach feces.
Yes.
Yes.
True. That's why the cockroach feces is magnificent.
That's what gives it that tang.
Yeah, it does have a tang.
So we're going to pick some games here. We'll do Georgia last, as we always do, but we'll start outside of the SEC. Thursday night, the big Louisville-Rutgers showdown. I think we all know where I stand on this. I've been a Scarlet Knights backer since week four, maybe. I jumped on the bandwagon, and I'm not going to lie. But Scott, you're our guest here. Who do you like in that game?
You know, I think you got to like Louisville. I just don't. You know, Rutgers is a great story, and they will continue to be a great story even after they lose this game. I will say that I think Rutgers gives them a game in as much as I think Louisville wins by 10 points. Mm-hmm. And I think Rutgers stays relatively within striking distance for most of the game, but I think they stay down the whole game. I don't think they ever take a lead. I think they win. They lose by 10 points. I think Louisville's a 10-point winner. Or, of course, Louisville could blow them out of the water, but I don't know.
Which is a very real possibility.
It's a very real possibility.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty logical explanation. I think Louisville might be a little bit, you know, coming off the high last week, and no matter what they say about how this is, you know, this is just as of now, this is the biggest game in Louisville history. I don't know. I don't think you can match that emotion that they had coming off that West Virginia game. But in the end, I think Louisville's too talented, and they're going to win by 2 touchdowns.
I'm standing alone. I'm taking Rutgers. Wow. I called it early. I'm going to go and continue with it. I am probably wrong. I'm going to make no bones about it. I am almost most surely wrong. But Rutgers is too good of a story for me to pass up.
So. You've been smoking too much Scarlet Knight.
I have been.
It is a New Jersey school, so there might be some mob hits out on Brian Brohm.
There could be. Well, now go to the ACC. We discussed it earlier. Maryland is playing Miami. The Terrapins are in control of their own destiny. We'll go to Tim first. Tim, who do you like in this game?
Maryland.
As if I would be shocked by your answer.
No, Miami again is just it's been a tough year. It's only getting tougher now. Huh? This is awful. I mean, how much worse can you get? Your starting defensive lineman is shot and killed.
That's bad.
So I don't know, maybe they're going to be playing with emotion. It's kind of sad to even be picking a game based on that. But I'll go with Maryland. They seem to be rolling along. Their defense is playing well, and they seem to get just enough offense to win games. So.
Scott?
The whole situation this week with the lineman being shot by at Miami, there's two ways that this game could go. One is they play with emotion, and it brings the team together, and they win. But the only thing, and I'm being brutally honest, this is Miami. This is the team that got in a fight with Florida Atlantic.
International.
Or Florida International, my bad. This is a team that has just underperformed and does not have discipline. And the problem is, I think, when you have an undisciplined team that plays with emotion, it turns out badly. It doesn't bring the team together. They may be fired up, but they're just not organized, and it kind of turns into chaos. And I just... I think this is more of a distraction than a rally for the team this mm-hmm. week. And even if they're playing with emotion, I think they're going to be all over the place and maybe too fired up,
Well, they might come out strong, but they might peak in, early second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, they may have two great series, particularly on defense, mm-hmm. And then I think Maryland ekes it out. Now, I think it's a touchdown or less, but I think Maryland probably wins this game and turns a lot of heads doing it.
I'm going to say Maryland as well. I mean, I mean Miami just has too many question marks right now, and I kind of agree with you. They might come out a little more fired up, a little more emotional because of what's happened the past week, all the adversity. But ultimately, I think Maryland's been playing pretty good football this year. I think they're going to pull it out. We'll go to the Big 12. We're going to try to pick Texas Tech, Oklahoma. It's a really unusual game because I'm not even sure who really is playing for Oklahoma anymore. They drop like flies each week, it seems like, to injuries.
But they keep winning.
they do somehow keep eking out victories. So, Scott, who do you like in Texas Tech, Oklahoma?
Good Lord, flip a coin. Ever since Adrian Peterson got hurt, I could not name one starter on the Oklahoma team. And when that quarterback got, you know, kicked off the team or whatever before the season. So, you know, I'm going to say Oklahoma just because I think they're better coached. And like Tim and you mentioned, they have eked out wins, which means this is a team that, despite all the personnel issues, is well coached and is somewhat disciplined. And Texas Tech, I just don't. Really think is that good. I think Oklahoma beats them by, you know, 7-10.
Man, somewhere Matt Topperegg is crying. Whenever someone says Texas Tech isn't good, he dies a little bit inside. I swear, no one loves Texas Tech more than that guy. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Oklahoma too. It's like, you know, that the gimmicky offense will, you know, it'll win you the bad teams, but.
The Baylors of this world.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's home. It's at Oklahoma, and the Oklahoma's defense has been playing pretty well, and I can't really name any players in their offense either. So, I know they have a pretty good wide receiver.
Sure.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Johnny Johnson. Anyway, yeah, I'm gonna go with Oklahoma. Sorry, Matt.
I'm gonna pick against Texas Tech and go Oklahoma, primarily because Texas Tech has way too many words in its school name and nickname. Texas Tech Red Raiders, that's four versus Oklahoma Sooners. Brevity is key here. I'm going to pick the Sooners in this game.
I'm going to go on the Star Wars route. That could have been the Texas Tech Tauntauns.
That's true.
Wow.
I got to imagine they get called the Rectal Raiders way too many times.
Quite so possibly, yes.
Yeah. If I was in the Big 12, that's what I would call them.
The Rectal Raiders.
Rectal Raiders.
Yeah.
That's a ring to it. We're going to the Pac-10 now.
Speaking
of quality football.
Don't care.
So we're going to take about 4 seconds on this. Southern Cal, Oregon. I'm going to call Oregon right now. Scott.
I'm going to call Oregon. I think it could happen. It could definitely happen.
USC,
so
strong.
Why not?
I'll go USC because you guys win Oregon.
Okay, we're going to move on. Good. We're going to get out of the Pac-10 as fast as possible. We're in the SEC now, South Carolina and Florida. Steve Spurrier's homecoming to Gainesville. I got a feeling it's not going to be pretty, but Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, last year just everything seemed to line up, and I don't know. When Florida went to South Carolina, I was pretty confident they were going to lose. But this time, I'm equally as confident that Florida's going to kill them. They've been playing over their head, I think, the past couple of weeks. They've been keeping close to some teams I don't think they should have been keeping close to, and I think this is when the hammer drops on them.
Can I ask, how is it? I mean, I know how it is because it's Steve Spurrier, but it's just bizarre that South Carolina really having, I mean, a better season than Georgia, admittedly, but it's an average season. They're not really beating anybody, yet they're always on national TV.
Yeah, it's just
it's the Spurrier factor. ESPN in particular wants Spurrier throwing his visor and grimacing and going, on their national feed. So it's the Spurrier factor.
I don't know if they're having a better season than we are.
Are they 5-4, right? Well, I guess it's close record-wise, and they've... Yeah, I could see that. And Georgia did actually win the head-to-head matchup,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, I think we're having a better season.
But who do you like, Scott?
Let's not kid ourselves. I think Florida. I think Florida is legitimately good this year. Maybe it's Tim Tebow factoring into the mix, but you have to say his name that way, by the way. I think Florida's a much better team. And who's going to play quarterback? Is Savelle Newton going to start, or is Blake Mitchell going to start? Because Blake Mitchell came in and played so well last week, or played relatively well compared to Savelle Newton the other week. So who knows? And Blake Mitchell looks like Andy Bailey, and that's just a death notice right there. So go figure. Florida by 17.
I believe somebody said that, I think Matt Duvall said he looked a lot like Napoleon Dynamite in the season opener, which I kind of agree.
Blake Mitchell?
Yeah. I'm going to go Florida because I think they're pretty good. I don't think South Carolina's good. So just that incredibly in-depth analysis for me means Florida's going to win. We'll take a look. LSU-Alabama this week. The Tide struggled. They lost Mississippi State. I think potentially that means you're threatened to be kicked out of the SEC if you lose Mississippi State. I'm not really sure about that. But the Tigers and the Tide play. And Scott, who do you like in that game?
I like LSU. I think LSU is a really good team. You know, they've lost to Florida and Auburn. Is that their two losses? But yeah. But golly, every time I watch them play, I watch Jamarcus Russell, and I'm just like, they are such a good team. I think they win this game. But now on the other side of the coin, Alabama is coming off an embarrassing loss, and you know, kind of never underestimate, particularly an Alabama team coming off a loss like that. I think it'll be close. I think LSU wins by between 7 and 10. I don't do a lot of betting, in case you can tell. That's why I give the score range.
Yeah, I think last I saw there was something like 16 or 17 point underdogs at LSU. So yeah, I think they're going to lose, but I think it's going to be, yeah, I think they'll cover the spread.
Well, Bama usually plays pretty tough against their. They don't typically pull them out, but they seem to be playing. They play pretty well against.
Yeah, they almost beat Arkansas. It was overtime.
They played Florida.
Hung around Tennessee until the fourth quarter. Actually, you know, they hung around pretty close towards the end. So yeah, I think they'll play close, but they'll lose.
I'm going to agree 100% because the LSU team that played against Tennessee was the one that I'm hoping would show up against either Florida or Auburn earlier in the year. So. I think LSU wins probably by a touchdown or two in this game. Arkansas-Tennessee, which is a surprisingly good game. The Razorbacks are the only undefeated team in SEC play right now and are, for all practical purposes, looking pretty good. Folks still talk about Auburn and Florida having a chance with it being the one-loss SEC team, but the Razorbacks only came to Southern Cal, so they're looking pretty good. So. Tim, who do you like in Arkansas, Tennessee?
I think, they're having a little bit of a quarterback controversy here. I guess now Dick's starting.
He played a good portion of the game against
I read earlier South this Carolina. Week that he's going to start. Mustaine's going to be backing up now. So
did he struggle? They were winning games. I just didn't realize he was struggling.
He struggled at South Carolina. I think he threw a couple picks early on. So they benched him, and he did really well. And so now they're going to go with Casey. So I don't know. That kind of worries me, and I think eventually this little run has to end, and I'm going to say it ends with Tennessee. So they're going to lose.
All right.
Yeah, I think Tennessee wins this game, but I do think this is going to be a really good opportunity to learn a lot about Arkansas. Like, just how good are they? Like, have they truly lucked up into all the success, you know, or are they going to lose by 3 points or maybe a touchdown? I think maybe it's a touchdown, but I think this is... Even if they lose this game, I think they can. I think the nation will learn a lot about Arkansas by this game.
You know, I'm gonna go against Arkansas. I'm gonna go with Arkansas in this game. Tennessee's pretty good. I mean, I've been very impressed with them since their demolition of Georgia. But I really think Arkansas is underrated. I think they are a pretty good football team. They have one of the best rushing offenses in the country. The defense plays pretty solid fundamental ball. If their secondary can match up, contain the run, if their secondary can match up against those Tennessee receivers, they got a chance. And if they can just control the ball. So I'm going to go on a limb and pick Arkansas in an upset here. And speaking of upsets, that leads us...
I don't know if that's
an
upset. I think they're probably favored, aren't they?
Are they favored?
Are they favored at Tennessee?
I thought it was at Arkansas.
Well, I'm looking at Jonathan's little schedule card. It's says Ark at Tennessee.
Never mind. Okay,
it's
so
at Arkansas.
I will scratch that. No. Well, we don't know the line.
At the very least, it's probably 3 and it's a push or something like that.
All right. Maybe not an upset. I still pick Arkansas.
Gotcha.
And then the final game of our slate, Georgia-Auburn, which usually we're pretty excited about. It's a big rivalry game, the oldest rivalry in the South, and... coming off a loss to Kentucky, not really so much this year. So, Scott, you can jump in first. What are your thoughts on Georgia and Auburn?
Well, first, I think there's a lot of similarities, actually, between this game and Alabama. Just like Alabama coming off the loss to Mississippi State. Excuse me as I drop my bottle cap. Georgia's coming off the loss to Kentucky, an embarrassing loss, you know. But I think... I still think they give Auburn a game. Do they win? Certainly not. Auburn's going to win this game, I believe. But, I see it playing out a lot like the Florida game. I think Auburn jumps out front. Georgia closes the gap. But, you know, if history is any indicator, mistakes, turnovers, you know, penalties cost them this game, and they lose by a touchdown, maybe 10 points.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I was talking to Kerry after the Kentucky game, and I was saying how, you know, this is just a team where I think, you know, if you just eliminate those miscues, it's a completely, you know, different season.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that they're fully capable of putting together one game and And I think that if they can just eliminate even just half of those, it puts them in a position to, you know, at least have a chance of winning. It's just kind of what we did at Florida. And I don't know whether it's going to be Auburn or Tech, but I just have to hope that one of these games that we're just going to put together a quasi-complete game. And I think it could be against Auburn. So, and my record at Auburn is sterling. It's undefeated.
Okay.
So I am going to be in attendance at the game, which is only good news for Georgia. So I'm going to say this is the game we put it together and we're going to win.
Man, oh man. I will not be in attendance, and I am 0-1 at Auburn. So I'm going to go on a limb and hope that the combination of your attendance and my lack of attendance bodes well for Georgia. I personally don't think so. I think if they put a game together, it's going to be against Tech, because I think Tech is a pretty good ball club this year, but I also think they're a little overrated because the ACC is down this year. But Auburn is still, I think if they had to do the Arkansas game again, even though I just picked Arkansas, I think Auburn wins that game. They're a pretty good football team, and Georgia is going to play above its head because that's what Rick coach teams do. They seem to have this bizarre knack of playing to the level of their opposition. So if they're playing Vanderbilt, they're going to struggle. But if they're going to play Florida or Auburn, they're going to play above their head and keep it close, have a chance to win the game. So I don't think Auburn's going to win by two or three touchdowns. I think Georgia's going to hang around, make some plays. They don't have a whole lot of receivers to actually throw the ball to right now. They keep getting hurt. So, but I still think Auburn's going to win probably by a touchdown, maybe 10 points.
Hopefully Stafford won't get a massive bruise on his chin to match the one on his forehead.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I like how Rick called him over, made him take his helmet off, and showed the offensive line. This is what happened.
I had not heard that story. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. I mean, I got to give him props. I mean, yeah, he threw the picks and whatnot, although one of them I don't think was really his fault, the one that was tipped in the end zone. The receiver really wasn't in position that he should have been. But I was pretty impressed. Like, when I saw interviews with him after the game, and, like, his eyelid was scratched, his nose was scratched, and he had that big gash on his forehead and that bruise. Like, I mean, I was kind of like, dang, that kid's legit. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think we talked about it earlier, and I wrote something about this on the blog, but Georgia, really, their offense, it's just lacking execution. It's the mistakes. As bad as this team has played this year, they've had a chance in every single game. I mean, you take away the mistakes against Tennessee, and it's a ball game. And you forget they were up pretty big. As bad as the defense played, if you take away those mistakes and those fumbles, and even with that toward the end of the season against Kentucky, they should have won the Kentucky game. And they had, what, four turnovers?
Yeah.
And the defense played pretty lousy. They still had a chance to win the game. They probably still should have won the game.
Here's my only thing offensively regarding Georgia is that please, 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 Craig Lumpkin is running the ball as well as he has been for the most part.
12 carries, 85 yards.
Please leave him in. Like, I love Danny Ware, and I think Danny Ware's a good back, but, like, when Craig's in a rhythm, let him run the ball. I mean, Herschel would run the ball 25, 30 times a game.
He pushed 40 a couple
Garrison
times.
Garrison Hurst was probably running the ball between 20 and 30 times a game.
Musa
was running the ball 20 times a game. Like, let them get some rhythm and stuff. I hate it, and I don't dislike Danny Ware, but I hate it when Craig's reeling off 5, 4, 6, 10, 5, you know, and all of a sudden Danny Ware's in the game. So
yeah,
let's get some consistency. I mean, you make it that much harder for that offensive line to develop any kind of rhythm when you're switching backs out every series or whatever. So anyway, my two cents.
Well, and I don't really think they're getting a good balance and a good flow to the game, because if you look at what, you know, Georgia has had three at the beginning of the year, and they will have three next year, but really good backs who they can use pretty well. And Ware is probably the best receiving back that they've
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
But I don't think they're using him in the right capacity. And granted, I am just a layperson, and the coaching staff knows a whole lot more than I do. But you look at Auburn in 2004, they had Brown and Carnell, Cadillac Williams, on the field at the same time. And they had Brown as the receiving back, Carnell as the running back. And they would split Brown out wide sometimes. I just look at Georgia and think, you've got Lumpkin, you got Ware. You want to use them both. Why are you just, these two series, I'm giving the ball to Lumpkin. These two series, I'm giving the ball to Ware and take him in and out, in and out. I would think, try to get him on the field at the same time. And the times they've done that, the Boise State game last year comes to mind. I mean, that's when they're on the field at the same time, it creates mismatches against the linebackers. Mm-hmm. So
true.
I'm rambling.
Easy for us to say.
Yes, I am by no means an expert in that.
Sounds like you want a spread offense.
Yes, I'd like to see Georgia actually go to the a triple option attack.
You are
thanks, Kalta Fleischer.
Yeah, you're a huge advocate of the spread offense, aren't you?
I am. I love gimmick offenses, which are doomed to fail in about 2 or 3 years. So, well, those are our picks. We've given you our 2 cents. We've done it over the span of several hours because we took a break in between. We thank you, folks, for joining us. We promise you, possibly not with a special guest next week. It'll probably just be Tim and I again, but we'll get back together. So for J-Mac, our boy Tim Kelly, and special guest Scott Hartman with all of his fancy recording equipment, we thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you folks later.